Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Confused. We're confused by Trump's plans, our plans still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get many of us killed. Have a nice day. I can't say any more. Now, the rest, of course, is commentary upon that statement I just made. I'll repeat it in case you missed it. We are all confused by Trump's plans and our plans still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get many of us killed. Whatever else I'm going to say today and the rest of the week is commentary upon that one statement. The American cultural revolution that we are living through is what I'm going to talk about a little bit, leading right up to the Super Bowl ads, which were disgustingly political. I ask you again, what happened to our beloved America? We once put a man on the moon. Now left-wing fanatical protesters give us their full moon in broad daylight in San Francisco and other cities. We in America, with no help from Al Gore, invented the information superhighway. Internet entrepreneurs created great companies like eBay and Amazon, accelerating global commerce. How did we decline so rapidly that we're doing nothing but watching anarchists in the streets being supported by congresswomen who say it was beautiful? The only thing certain to me is that America's wounds are internal. Radical Islamists are determined to kill us and wipe great Satan America and little Satan Israel off the map. ISIS, Iran, Al-Qaeda, Boko Haram, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Saudi Arabian Wahhabi nutcases all want to destroy us. The World War II generation faced threats head-on. Now, by inactivity or through liberal self-loathing, we help those who are trying to kill us. The Iran nuclear deal by Obama gave over $150 billion to a nation chanting every day for our destruction. How insane have we become? Iranians yell, "Death to America." We respond by giving them the tools to carry out their wishes. The greatest generation defeated the Nazis and communism. Now radical Muslims are threatening us, and millennials are too busy to fight. Islamists watch training videos on how to carry out jihad against the infidels, while our kids are too busy texting and taking selfies. Everything is a selfie. Our enemies are preparing our funerals, while our young people worry that pictures of the funerals will not show up on their Instagram accounts. Iran is trying to set up a global caliphate, while we strive to become the next Mozambique, one of the poorest nations on the planet. How did the Islamists go from being a regional power to a global fighting force? How did Americans end up actually supporting our enemies with crackpot judges from Seattle supporting them? It starts with a culture that shares a common bond with our enemies. They don't want us to exist, and neither do we. Forget good breeding. We don't do any breeding. Islamists have 14 children apiece, so losing 7 children to homicide bombings is a drop in the bucket. We went from having 2.3 children to an abortion culture and an overpriced Manhattan loft. A 3-bedroom family house is a waste when there is no family. Islamists ban birth control and turn their women into baby jihad factories. We have feminists demanding a life of free sex with unlimited trips to the abortion clinic. Most people would never connect abortion to radical Islam, but you're smarter than most people. But don't just take my words for it. Look at the numbers. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. America has at last count 320-some-odd people. With so many illegals pouring in, it is tough to get an accurate count. There are roughly 4 times as many Muslims as Americans. They keep adding to their ranks, and we keep importing illegals because our own people eliminate their babies. At this rate, we will go the way of Europistan. Italy has had a declining birth rate in recent years. Europe is finished. They refuse to reproduce while Islamist women keep churning out the next generation of Islamists. The Center for Disease Control reported in 2011 over 730,000 abortions were performed in the United States. That is 100,000 more people than in the entire state of Vermont. Imagine if we woke up one day and found out that all of Vermont was aborted. As tempting as it is not to bring the next Bernie Sanders into the world, think of an entire state just empty. That was in 1 year. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, 54 million abortions have taken place. We voluntarily killed off between 15 and 20% of our population. And by the way, the next time you hear a leftist say that illegals do the jobs Americans refuse to do, just remember how many Americans we killed off. Had those babies been born, there would be no labor shortage today. Their children, and in rare cases grandchildren, could have joined the United States military. Instead, Islamists are breeding and Americans are bleeding. I'll say it again in case you missed it. It's got nice iambic pentameter. Wolf Blitzer, pay attention, you psychotic moron, you. Jake Tapper, you stupid drug addict moron. You're a drug addict. You're addicted to your liberalism. You sick man, you. Idiots. Morons on CNN. Islamists are breeding and Americans are bleeding. It's easy for Islamists to chant death to America. We eliminated one-fifth of their obstacles and made their job 20% easier, Jake. At least some Americans are still having children. Unfortunately, many of those children spend their formative years being taught how to surrender. Thank you, Berkeley. The emasculation of American boys is one step short of suicide. Muslims are living in patriarchal societies, while American boys are being emasculated by feminism. Schoolyards used to be filled with kids at recess playing games like kill the guy with the ball. Nobody died. We played smear the queer. Nobody sued anybody. Boys played with G.I. Joes and girls played with dolls. Kids played freeze tag without a single incident of sexual harassment. Cartoons were filled with violence. Bugs Bunny tied the gun in a knot and Elmer Fudd's gun went kaboom, covering his own head in black soot. Wile E. Coyote chased the Roadrunner and fell off the cliff to his death. We as children knew not to try and jump off the roof. Teenage boys watched Rocky and Rambo. Then we came home without trying to kill anybody. We did not need liberals to tell us the difference between pretend and real life. Common sense and our parents handle that. Now schools across the country are canceling gym class. Even rock, paper, scissors is too violent. Rocks and scissors could be used by children to harm each other. Paper requires murdering trees. It's no wonder Islamists produce strapping young men, while America produces sensitive crybabies. Muslim children are taught to hate in madrasas. They are taught how to kill the infidels and the blasphemers. American boys are suspended from school for arranging their school lunch vegetables in the shape of a gun. Perhaps it's good they get suspended. Michelle Obama used to starve our children anyway. Pizza, burgers, and fries are replaced with gluten-free, calorie-free, flavor-free garbage that the kids throw away. Then they race home and grab a hamburger on the way home because growing boys want more than an apple slice and a fiber protein bar. During World War II, young boys volunteered to go overseas to save the world. The Korean War had Colonel David Hackworth teaching our young military best to kill a commie for mommy. Now American kids on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from potential microaggressions. Islamists cut off heads and limbs, and our young boys shriek at the drop of a microaggression, marching with Islamists and hating Trump. This is Michael Savage. What I'm reading to you is a continuation of what I wrote for you in my last books, Government Zero and Scorched Earth. What I'm reading to you can be found on this radio show and in Trump's war. We are in this war. We are all fighting this war. Trump is losing the war. He's writing these laws, and they're not going anywhere because of wackadoodle, suicidal, leftists in the media and in the courts. During World War II, young boys, as I said to you, volunteered to go overseas to save the world. And I said to you, the Korean War had Colonel David Hackworth teaching our young military best to kill a commie for mommy. And now your children on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from so-called microaggressions. Islamists cut off heads and limbs, and our young boys shriek at the drop of a microaggression. Do I have to remind you what happened in Berkeley? Do you know what happened over the weekend after the Berkeley riots? A congresswoman, so-called, from Florida, said it was beautiful to watch the, quote, young people destroying the University of California at Berkeley. You know, when I watch movies and TV shows in the 50s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, and proud of itself. When I look at America today, I see something else. That is because a very small band of radical, fanatical leftists in the media, in the schools, and in the courts have seized every aspect of the media and every avenue of government imaginable. They're ashamed of the very idea of America. They are not the majority and they don't speak for the people. They are a group of political deviants. They are political deviants in a statistical sense, in a political sense, and in a social sense. This small band of deviant judges and deviant media types have wrecked the United States of America and turned us into a nation of almost slaves. These craven apologists have turned the grandchildren of the greatest generation into jellyfish, less brave than the average Frenchman. It is easy to blame the 1960s, flower power, and the radicals that spawned them, nihilistic forces like the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground. It takes a village of people to destroy a child, and they need to be called out by name. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were just symptoms of a much bigger disease. You see, my friends of the Savage Nation, what we're living through right now is part of the disease of the Cultural Revolution, started right around the time Barry Soetero was born. And I'm going to go shortly to the Super Bowl and play the ads, and you will see what I am talking about. You will see how even our sports events have been infected by the radical leftists. This is the Savage Nation. You just got more than you're going to get for the rest of the week from everything else in the media. Stay tuned because more is coming.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I boycotted the Super Bowl, as I usually do. I'm not a sports fan, truthfully. If you are, I'm not putting it down. I don't find it very interesting. But I went to the museum instead in the rain. I figured nobody would be on the road, nobody would be in the museum. And, in fact, I posted a picture of a phenomenal piece of sculpture with me looking at it with a strange light on Facebook. And it's my way of saying to the world what I like, and you know, you can like what you like. But the political Super Bowl ad said it all. The perverts in the ad business have convinced these companies that by spitting on America and America's values, by spitting on everything American, by spitting on everything good, especially the male gender, they would sell more products. The ad agency is run by a very small group of fanatics. They control every ad in the United States of America, and it goes through very few hands. The political Super Bowl ads are an example of the psychosis that has infected the advertising world. Do you realize how far they have gotten, that they have pushed themselves into the Super Bowl and distorted the Super Bowl ads with lies about America, lies about men, lies about the military, lies about immigration, lies about planetary science, lies about everything. So you go to these games, I understand it, but you have to understand what's outside the Roman arena is very important in your everyday life. I can take some calls right now, which I think I will do, because one of the callers has something important to say, and I will soon continue with my discussion of the cultural revolution that we're living through right now. The cultural revolution started right around the time that Barry Obama was born. I will tell you who started the cultural revolution. And you'll find out that this group of revolutionaries did more damage to the nation than any foreign enemy. They were all silk smooth salesmen. One pushed rampant sex with animals. Another one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. That was Timothy Leary. The other one, God knows what he pushed. A demented mashup of feminism and socialism. There was also a lawyer named William Kunstler, who leapt to the defense of anyone who burned, spit on, or defaced something clean and good, like the American flag or the American way. And now these little leftist vermin have infested every news outlet in America. They run every ad agency in America. They run every political think tank in America, with rare exception. And so by upset, the long shot, the underdog, Trump wins the election. Same way the Super Bowl was snatched at the last minute by the New England Patriots. Trump snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. But he's got nothing done. He's accomplished nothing. We are all confused. That's why I'm telling you this on the Savage Nation. One quick call. Glenn on WABC, line 9. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, thank you so much for taking my call. I'm 70 years old. I grew up in the suburbs of New York. My grandmother immigrated to this country. She came through 7 countries with 6 children to get to America. My grandparents only spoke Yiddish in the house. Outside of the house, they only spoke English. They assimilated into the American society. Why don't people do that today? They want to bring their societies and change America to their country.
Well, when your grandmother came here, there was no welfare system. She didn't come here and sit on a cushion created by the socialist government. There were no food stamps. There was no welfare. There was no free anything. They worked from morning until night to pay their way, or they didn't eat. Is that correct?
That's correct. They had a push cart.
You had a push cart? Well, right now they have a push cart at JFK Airport. They come in with a push cart, and the ACLU is there to fill it with money, free legal advice. All the girls are there throwing flowers at the Islamists as they arrive, like they're better than the men who fought in World War II, throwing themselves at immigrants who they don't even know, glorifying people who live in the 9th century. Stupid girls, brainwashed by the schools, brainwashed by Wolf Blitzer.
Savage.
Savage Nation, I am talking about the American Cultural Revolution. All of what you have heard is a summation of everything I have begun to write in Government Zero and Scorched Earth. It's all found in my opus, Trump's War, the one book that I want you to buy to help save the Trump Revolution from destruction. Remember what's going on in this country. Remember the Black Panther Party? They're chump change compared to the Black Lives Matter thugs. And never forget who is funding Black Lives Matter. None other than the villain of the earth. The Darth Vader of the earth, George Soros, is funding these violent Black Lives Matter communist revolutionaries. New Black Panthers held billy clubs outside polling stations in an attempt to prevent white voters from participating in the political process. Eric Holder and Barry Obama smiled. In Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, and elsewhere, Black Lives Matter is known for burning down stores, looting, and stealing electronics in the name of racial justice. You think this came from nothing? It came from something. It came from the Republican Party, focused on winning the Electoral College. While liberals were hijacking the cultural institutions, they did nothing. During World War II, Hollywood was patriotic. Jimmy Stewart was a war hero. American movies accurately portrayed America as the good guys. Cartoons like Der Fuhrer's Face, featuring Donald Duck, mocked Adolf Hitler. Hollywood is now run by ardent psychotic liberals. The few pro-American movies out there have to be privately financed to get made. Look at television. There used to be shows about heroes like Gunsmoke. There were shows with respected father figures such as Bonanza and Father Knows Best. In the 1970s, we even had Good Times, where John Amos was a strong Black father figure. Then came Dad as Clown. From The Cosby Show to Everybody Loves Raymond, the father was reduced to a punchline. The mother was the adult. And the father was just another child for the mother to contend with. It is no wonder boys are growing up emasculated. The left has wiped out the father as a respected figure. The left has long owned the big three television stations. But one of them has turned their entire programming into leftist indoctrination. NBC owns more than the communist-leaning MSNBC. The parent company has done plenty of indoctrinating on its own kind. Climate change used to be the domain of a few crackpots. Now every night kids are bombarded with the More You Know ads that are far from innocuous. Little kids are scared to death that the climate change boogeyman is hiding under their bed, preparing to leap up and drown them in acid rain. In 2004, Americans overwhelmingly supported gay marriage bans. Those ballot measures defending traditional marriage played a key role in President George W. Bush's re-election. The public supported and still does support traditional marriage. Then the psycho television networks intervened. Ordinary people in middle America were portrayed as outside the mainstream, as extremists. By the time the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, the public opinion had already shifted. Young people were almost lockstep in favor of gay marriage. The television carpet bombing of their minds worked. Women kissing women and men with husbands are now standard fare on primetime television. In addition to the entertainment industry, liberals seized control of the schools. Have you looked at the American Federation of Teachers? Have you seen what they're doing to your children's minds? Try firing a bad public school teacher, then wait a few years. The unions give millions of dollars to liberal Democrats in exchange for lifetime protection for all involved. Teachers are free to indoctrinate students without any fear of interference from parents. Huckleberry Finn gets removed from classrooms while Heather Has Two Mommies replaces it. The left controls the libraries. When was the last time you saw a Republican librarian? The libraries decide what books are on the shelf and what books are restricted. Well, at another time, I'll go into all the other aspects of the Cultural Revolution. You can read all about it in Government Zero on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com. And I want to continue now by taking your calls and talking a bit about the Super Bowl ads that went super political. Let's start with Audi, the German car company. Their ad featured a dad and his daughter promoting equal pay for women. Audi of America is committed to equal pay for equal work, they declared. Apparently unaware, America already has that law on the books. The folks over at Airbnb ran a commercial on inclusiveness, as did Google and Coca-Cola. A hair product company trolled President Trump's lustrous mane. America, we're in for at least 4 years of awful hair, so it's up to you to make up for it with great hair, the narrator of the sick commercial said. But the most controversial ad came from 84 Lumber. It was titled A Journey. The Super Bowl ad told the story of an illegal alien and her daughter trying to sneak across the border, only to be stymied by a giant, beautiful wall. When all appeared hopeless, the illegals discovered a door built by a guy using 84 lumber materials. In the final scene, the woman and her daughter open the door and violate American sovereignty. The ad ends with, "The will to succeed is always welcome here." Now, why would a lumber company advertise on the Super Bowl? If you go to a hardware store, do you say, "I want a certain brand of lumber"? You just say, "I want a 2x4 that's 8 foot long." Or, "I want a sheet of plywood." You don't ask what the company is. This is because this company is simply trying to drive their stock up. They're trying to get you to know the name of the company behind the lumber so you'll buy their stock. That's how sick this is. The hardware company was only allowed to show 90 seconds of the 6-minute commercial during the Super Bowl. The remainder was posted online. It was supposed to tug at the heartstrings. Instead, it gave Americans a bad case of heartburn. You get the picture. This is the Savage Nation. I open the show by saying we are all confused. We're confused by Trump's plans and our plans still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get all of us killed, either culturally or physically. WABC Jules, line one, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
I think you're talking to nobody because the people are so brainwashed. I want to give you a perfect example. A Jewish woman I grew up with is a real feminazi, and I brought up the fact about forced clitorectomies by the Muslims, and she just shrugged it off, saying it's no different than circumcision. And that really just absolutely blew me away.
Here's the best one if you want to talk about liberal Jews. It sickened me over the weekend to read that the immigration situation in America is bringing Muslims and liberal Jews together. And we saw synagogues across America, including those on the Upper West Side of New York, opening their doors to Islamists, thinking that somehow the Islamists will love them in the long run. What they don't understand is the Islamists will hate them to the grave. It's inherent in their teachings to hate Jews. Why is it that liberal Jews continue to do this over and over and over again? I ask you, my friend Jules, from New York City, what in the world motivates liberal Jews to not see reality?
Well, I read your book. It's a mental disorder. That's the best I could do. And let me tell you this. That's my question to you. I see the future of liberalism and Muslim fanatics. What's going to happen? They're not going to coexist.
No, of course. Here's how it works. I wrote it in Government Zero. I was the first to point it out in a commercial way. The Islamists and the leftists, the so-called progressives, have joined forces to overthrow the patriarchy on one hand, that is from the feminist side, to overthrow the Christian-Jewish domination of America, that is on the Muslim side, to overthrow the government itself and replace it with psychos coming from the Nancy Pelosi side. And frankly, they lost the last election, but they're still running the courts, the media, and frankly, they're running the American mind right now. That's the point of today's show. And that's why I said we are all confused. We're confused by the fact that we won an election, and Trump's wheels seem to be spinning in the mud.
Step one, he has to enforce the Constitution. He can't let the violence get out of hand. Stop that and stop Soros. That's what he has to do. That's step one.
Well, he made a couple of critical errors, and I don't want to make him the problem, but he made some big errors. That's because he was misadvised by his close inner circle. I said that last week. It was heard around the world. It was a shot heard around the world, and I don't want to go into it, but one of them has not been seen since my broadside against her behavior. Have you seen her since?
Right. But they must enforce the laws.
No. Have you seen the bar fly on TV since my description of her activities?
I don't know how she got to her position.
That's right. No one knows, and apparently Trump wasn't paying close attention to the fact that not all of us are deaf, dumb, and blind to his appointees, who are destroying his message and weakening him, by the way.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the bar fly has been moved to a smaller position somewhere in the administration. She's not front and center. He was seen with his wife. He was seen with his daughter. He was no longer seen marching with the bar fly. That's a good thing. Now we have the situation of the other one, the adventurer who inveigled his way in, the website operator, who took over so much power that he almost took over the government itself. He's not long for the position. Trump has to take control of his administration. He cannot delegate anymore to these people. He has to deliver on his message. The question I'm going to ask, which I should ask at another time, which is this: did Trump really want to win? Some are saying he didn't. Some of his closest friends said he didn't think he would win, nor was he prepared to win. But the bigger question is, do you think that he's going to run a second term? Do you think he even wants a second term? Can you see 4 years of this kind of confusion? I can't. Something has to happen, and it has to happen quickly. When one crackpot judge in Seattle can continue to permit the flooding of America with radical Islamists mixed in with nice Muslims and terrorists mixed in with nice and bad Muslims, we have lost the country completely. What is a president but the chief executive? How can a chief executive permit one crackpot judge to distort an immigration policy that we all know is out of control? How is that even possible? Moreover, where are the tax reforms that we asked for? Why did he go forward on this immigration executive order without thinking it through, without putting his ducks in a row, so to speak? He wasn't prepared for it. There were not enough changes downstream to enact this. He hasn't yet got the Supreme Court in his hand. It's going to make it even more difficult for him to place this new guy on the Supreme Court, because the evil Chuck Schumer said that just the other day. The evil Chuck Schumer said that the other day. The psychotic, evil Chuck Schumer, who would destroy a nation for more power, the same way Pelosi and Feinstein and the others have done for so many years, flooding America with disloyal immigrants who don't work. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. Disloyal, lazy immigrants who don't work. How many of these immigrants that we're told come here to work actually work? And I'll ask a more pointed question. See if you can find the data on this. The countries from which Trump banned immigration, largely Muslim countries, it is true. What percent of the immigrants from Sudan work at jobs in America? And what percent of the Sudanese who have come into this country under Barry Obama and now under Trump are on welfare? What percentage of Somalis are on welfare in America? What percent work at a regular full-time job in America? What percent of Syrians are on welfare? What percent are working full-time jobs? That's an embarrassing fact that the geniuses at CNN will not look into. You want the answers? I've got the answers. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, we're back on the Savage Nation, and I want to tell you, guys or women, if you're really dreaming about thicker, fuller, and healthier hair without the long wait, I got something for you. It's a product called Provia. It's a super concentrate from Chamonix, and it happens to be developed with you in mind. They're just tiny bottles, but they pack four times the power of Provia's key ingredient, which give you faster and more visible results. For example, Dorothea from Delaware says she loves Provia. I was self-conscious about my hair that I bought several wigs. I was ashamed of myself, forever cleaning hair out of the shower. Ugh, the sink and off my pillow. It's not a problem for me anymore. Revitalizing hair follicles and improving scalp circulation naturally and without side effects. You're only one phone call or click away from stronger, fuller, younger-looking hair. Say goodbye to wasting your hair in the brush, in the sink, or on the pillow. Listen to me carefully. You try Provia now. You're going to get the new super concentrate absolutely free with your order. All you got to do is call 800-543-5830, 800-543-5830. This product, the new Provia Super Concentrate, works or your money back, guaranteed. For this very limited time offer, you call 1-800-543-5830, 800-543-5830. Write it down, 800-543-5830. WABC Joe, line 2, go ahead. You have 30 seconds or less.
I too agree with you concerning this. I'm wondering what's going on in the Trump administration, because I happen to be an attorney licensed in two states and in the federal courts, and what you offered, okay, in your book Government Zero about a total ban for 7 or 8 years would have passed constitutional muster. Because what?
Bingo. That's exactly right. But the adventurer in the administration took control of the administration, and the website administrator did not read my book and didn't want to give me credit, and he made a blunder that's going to cost Trump a great deal of cause him a lot of trouble. A blanket ban on all immigration for 7 years would have passed immediately. It could not have been fought at all.
And all that information was free in a book. All right.
Correct.
Right.
But I have been blocked by these adventurers from reaching Donald Trump with the best advice he can possibly get. Advice that he could not get from the best advisors in the world. And that is because there are people who are putting their careers ahead of the nation. That is the problem. So as a lawyer, you know that if it was a blanket ban, a judge could have had almost no effect on it, correct?
Cannot selectively enforce. It has to be like when you're in school. The teacher says, if somebody makes a noise, you're not going to get your milk and cookies today, class. And somebody makes the noise, so they don't get you. It's got to be across the board.
In other words, if Trump had come out with a ban saying no immigration for 7 years, except in cases of national emergency, then it would have held, correct?
Correct.
My friend, you just got a copy of Government Zero because you know where the truth lies. For as long as it lasts and God gives me the will, I'll be here.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all day.
If you missed hour one, I'm sorry to tell you, you missed, I think, pretty good stuff. And phenomenal stuff about the Cultural Revolution, about the fact that we are all confused by the fact that we elected Donald Trump and his plans and our plans are still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get many of us killed. If you see Jewish liberals opening the doors of synagogues to Islamists who they don't even know in the hope that they will be loved by these Islamists, which will never happen. If you see feminists embracing Islamist women who conduct mutilation of women, I forget what they call it, I don't even know the name for it, which they force circumcision on women, they cut off their parts of their sexual apparatus, as done in the old country. And here you have feminists embracing them at marches against America. What you understand is that you have liberalism, the mental disorder, on display. It doesn't matter how many of them are marching or screaming. They're all crazy. The Islamists are not crazy. They know what they're doing. It's the feminists. I saw a show over the weekend on RT television, Russian television. I watch it for the news on occasion. And they went man in the street with a microphone asking French people, who was the greatest threat to France? This is right after the Muslim was stopped with a machete outside the Louvre. And you should see pretty young French girls, you know, 20, 25, beautiful women. You'd look at them and think they're intelligent. But like the brainwashed dodos that they are, they said Trump was the greatest threat to France's survival. Not Russia, not Iran, not radical Islam, but Trump. These are girls who don't even know that their grandfathers were saved by the American troops in World War II. They have no idea of their own history, the history of their own country. They have no idea what world they live in. They have free prescription drugs, printable pharmacy coupons, the benefits of herbal medicine, and they think that they know everything on the earth. What they don't know is about survival. They permit the enemy within to enter their nation, and anyone who tries to save them from themselves, they think is their enemy. Is it any different here in America? Okay, I could take some calls now and do a little coaster stuff. We can coast along on the Savage Nation. I gave you a whole thing on the Cultural Revolution in Hour 1. I'll continue it each day this week, God willing. Funded by the most evil man on the planet, the villain, Darth Vader, George Soros. I do not know why the Trump administration, I think I know why. One of the first things I thought the Trump administration would do would have the Justice Department immediately investigate George Soros and his son on Park Avenue. Believe me, if the Justice Department wants to, they can indict a ham sandwich. As we learned during the reign of terror of Barry Obama, when he went after every decent American in the country who stood up to him. IRS probes, making people bake cakes for groups that they didn't want to bake cakes for. You get the picture, don't you? The power of the federal government is pretty awesome. And when you have a man as villainous as George Soros and his little twerpy son sitting up there, the inheritance case, continuing to give money to these communist organizations who are as violent as you can imagine, in order to keep people off their own doorstep, the government has to step in and protect us from them. I'm 100% in favor of dissent. I am a dissenter. You could even say I'm a disruptor. But I do it within the realms of the law. I don't break windows. I don't burn things. I don't beat people up. You cross that line, you go to jail. At least in my world. Law and order. That's what I want. I don't see it. And you know, that brings us down to the grassroots level here. The Chinese call it the elbow thrashing level of reality. I learned that once from a Chinese philosopher, a poet, a martial artist. I don't know who. But he said, you know, many of us sitting at home can act in a dignified manner, reading important books and reciting important statements. But he said when we get down on the elbow-thrashing level of reality, meaning the busy sidewalk of New York, and you're walking on a crowded street, how do you behave? He said, that's the true test of the human being. Over here in Berkeley, we have a failed politician named Robert Forthreich. You know him. Robert Forthreich used to be the labor secretary for Bill Clinton. A miserable human being. A horrible loser of a human being. A schnook. A nebbish, a nobody. A schmendrick who couldn't even be a chiropractor. He couldn't even be a chiropodist, I should say. I know some great chiropractors. He couldn't even be a podiatrist for animals. So he became the next best thing, which was a college teacher. This miserable human being, Robert Reich, took a job at UC Berkeley. Collects a check, probably 150 grand a year or more, for doing nothing but spewing anti-American hatred. After the riots in Berkeley, do you know what this creep said? He went on television with his good friend Wolf Blitzer. I guess they got a secret handshake of some kind. And he had the nerve to say that he can't confirm it, but he heard that those who were breaking windows and burning things were not leftists, but they were actually put there by the right wing. They were Donald Trump supporters. Now you wonder why we call it fake news. Now you wonder why we hate the news. Now you wonder why we hate most sociology professors and professors outside of the sciences. Why there is such a growing revolution of disgust for these people. You understand why now? Because they're a threat to our survival, that's why. Any other questions? I got the answers. WABC Lynn, line 3, go ahead, you're on the Savage Nation.
You're absolutely right. I feel like we're still in a case of perpetual campaigning. During the campaign, it was always like they had to sell whatever he was saying. He can sell it. He can give us the messages. The woman that you're talking about, Kellyanne Conway, I mean, she was fine. She was great as a Phase 3 campaign manager. But honestly, he needs to come out and he needs to talk to us. I feel like the silent majority is being once again silenced.
Right. I don't want to go into talking about the barfly again because she's been marginalized where she belonged to begin with. But the fact is, we want to see him talk. We need him as the cheerleader. Okay, so not some 10th-rate woman from Nowhereville who came along late in the campaign and suddenly started buying Gucci dresses and thought she was a movie star.
Exactly. He needs to come out. He should continue with those rallies. What was wrong with that? At least he was able to...
Rallies? Oh, yeah, let me ask you another question. How come he hasn't gone on one radio show since he became president?
Yeah, where is he? All he did was that one thing before the Super Bowl. Meanwhile, she's out all the time. They had to send Mike Pence out last time because she messed up last week, and she's...
Yeah, with the bowling alley? I mean, the bowling green?
Yeah, and the thing is...
Well, that's because... Yeah, okay, I understand. Bowling alleys are on her mind. She probably grew up in them.
She's fine as a Phase 3 campaign manager, but she's not...
She's fine to work behind the scenes if she is so brilliant.
Right.
But not to be the face of the Trump administration. It became an embarrassment. We did not see Melania. We didn't no longer saw Ivanka. All of a sudden, we saw the barfly. It started for me at they went to some event out on Long Island run by some big donors named the Mercers. A Halloween party. Remember she wore like a horror outfit? With the president? I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong in this picture. What is he appearing with her for? What is going on here? Where's his wife? Where's his beautiful daughter? What's he doing with her?
I thought that she was a pollster and she used to work for Ted Cruz. I'm not really sure how she got to be.
She worked for Cruz and she spent 1 year bashing him. I spent Friday show playing the sound bites of her ripping him to shreds for a year straight. Who is it that told him that she was on his side? That's what I want to know.
Well, I just don't see how she's the face of him to come out and talk to us about what he wants.
All right, let's put all the past behind us. Right. But have you noticed that since I exposed this problem, have you noticed since I exposed the problem that you haven't seen the barfly as much?
I have noticed. Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the Trump camp is listening to this show or getting the notes on this show because they know this show helped elect them in a big way. Yet, he has not gone on one radio show, so far as I know, since he was elected. Why is that?
I don't know. We want to see him, and we want to hear him. We don't...
Yes. No rallies, no radio. The very audience that put him in power, he ignores. He goes on shows like Bill O'Reilly. What did O'Reilly do for him during the campaign? Did he do very much?
Not that I'm aware of.
Nothing that I'm aware of. Yet he goes kisses O'Reilly's feet before the Super Bowl. And O'Reilly sets him up for a gigantic fall, having him say things about Putin that are embarrassing. You saw that scandal, right?
Yeah, that's another thing. He did.
Right. So O'Reilly got a real scalp out of that gotcha interview, didn't he? That snake, that leprechaun, that untrustworthy leprechaun. I try to warn Trump; they don't listen to me. I said, stick with your friends, not with your enemies. He went on the Leprechaun show, and the Leprechaun played the Leprechaun, made believe he was his friend, and screwed him over royally, made him look like a disaster. Did you hear the interview or not with Trump and O'Reilly? It was a disaster where he made Putin, he brought, why do you respect Putin? And he comes out and attacks America, saying there's a lot of killers in our country, too. Did you hear that one?
I heard the whole exchange. They're going to play it 1,000 times, and that's what makes it worse and worse.
Okay, but let's go not to that interview, but the question. Who advised Trump to go on the Leprechaun show and to avoid the radio shows that made him what he is? Who do you think is advising him?
Well, he's been on all those shows many, many times, and I think
I understand, but has he been on one radio show since he was elected?
That answer was just a volley back to it.
But you're not hearing me. Why won't he go on the radio shows that got him elected? Who is stopping him from coming on these shows?
I don't think he's been stopped. I think he will. I think that he's...
No, he won't. No, he won't. He has media advisors who are keeping him away from Michael Savage and others in the radio business. Those would be people like Sean Spicer, who worked for the Republican establishment, and they hate my guts. They've hated my show for the last 10 years. They fear me more than they do CNN. So he puts them on these mainstream television guys who don't add up to a hill of beans, who write books about dead people and killing them, and he gets set up for a gigantic fall. Okay, that's why I wrote Trump's War, Lynn, which I'm going to send you a copy of, because it's a guaranteed necessity for us to help Donald Trump get his agenda across. He's in trouble right now. Everyone knows that. His wheels are spinning in the mud. And we are the foot soldiers who got him elected. And now we have to get out there and push his car out of the mud. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Is the Savage Nation. I want to play for you now the setup interview by the Leprechaun O'Reilly, which has greatly embarrassed the president. I try to warn them, stick with your friends. Don't go on all these shows that are going to set you up. What did O'Reilly do for you during the campaign? Nothing. Who is advising him? Sean Spicer of the Republican National Committee, who I think would like to undermine the president, by the way, as would the entire RNC. And I write about it as one of the great groups to watch out for in Trump's war. The rhinos are trying to undermine Donald Trump. So they say, stay away from talk radio. They're too radical. You don't need them anymore. You use them. So they put him on the O'Reilly show. Listen what happened. It's a disaster for the president. Clip 3.
Do you respect Putin?
I do respect him.
Do you? Why?
Well, I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with him. He's a leader of his country. I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world,
right?
Major fight, that's a good thing. Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
He's a killer, though. Putin's a killer.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
Bingo, that's it now. So he tricked him into making a statement that now puts him in the same league as Bernie Sanders and communist professors. I want to ask you something. What if Barry Obama had said there's a lot of killers? What do you think our country is so innocent? I want to know what the right wing would have said. No, I'm just asking a question. That's my job as a commentator. Do you think I'm supposed to sit here as a cheerleader and say that everything Trump's done is right? I pity Trump for this. He was set up by Sean Spicer or by the barfly who set up the O'Reilly interview in order to feather their own nests. Never forget one principle. And the most important principle to remember, I don't care whether it's within an administration or anywhere else, everyone is out for themselves. So everyone working for Trump is thinking long-term and middle-term
of what they're going to do tomorrow. When they lose the job or when they move on, what do you think they want? Where do you think Barfly sees herself? Megyn Kelly, $20 million a year. That was Barfly's wildest dream. That was the outfits, the hair. Someone to work on her nails next, but we'll put that aside. Sean Spicer, a nobody. Where they get him from? He worked for what, Dan Quayle? He worked for unknown people in the RNC. Now all of a sudden he is the front man for Donald Trump, and he puts him on this show as the press secretary. Who do you think picks these shows? Certainly not the people who picked the shows that got him elected. You're right. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is a disaster for Donald Trump. He fell into the trap set by the leprechaun.
Savage.
Darth Vader could not do more damage to this country than George Soros. And one of the things I had expected to happen would be an investigation of Soros and Son within week one of the Trump administration. It doesn't puzzle me as to why he has not investigated him. I'm almost reluctant to tell you what I think is going on. But what the heck? Go ahead, walk away cocktail. You may as well hear what I think. Why hasn't the enemy of our way of life, who funds Black Lives Matter, he gave him $90 million last year, according to reports. He funds most of the radical groups in America, including the groups that almost burnt Sproul Hall to the ground last week in Berkeley. He is a villain, an absolute villain, in my estimation. George Soros, an agitator, a trillionaire agitator. You'd think that Trump would sick the Justice Department on him to investigate him, to find out who he's funded, what his connections are to foreign organizations, if any. But he hasn't. I'm sorry to tell you that there are ties between George Soros and some of the appointees from Goldman Sachs in the administration. This is what happens. This is what happens. There's nothing wrong with Goldman Sachs. I'm not knocking it. It's a great investment bank. I'm not in that camp that every time you say Goldman or Sachs, you have to like, oh, yeah, right. That's not where I'm coming from. It's the overlap of interests between the investment bank world and the investment banker George Soros that keeps him protected. And that's why I do not think we're going to get the social justice that we expect. 855-407-282 is the phone number. KSFO, Jeff, line 7. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Dr. Savage, I kind of disagree with you when it comes to Trump tripping up on the interview with Bill O'Reilly. I mean, America does have blood on its hands in a way. Over the last 8 years, we've invaded Libya, and that's when Hillary Clinton made that joke or what have you. We came, we saw, he died. So, yeah, I would put her in the same cat as Putin.
Oh, okay. What you're saying is when Trump said there's a lot of killers, what, you think our country is so innocent? He didn't say Hillary Clinton is so innocent. He said our country.
Yeah, but our leaders, I think that's what he was...
No, he said our country is so innocent. He meant it sarcastically, but fundamentally he fell into the trap of sounding like a leftist attacking America.
By doing so, though, wouldn't you agree he kind of called out the last 8 years we've been under with all the chaos that's been the Middle East on fire and everything?
You could spin it that way and give him a pass. I see that. I accept that.
Well, I feel on this.
I thank you. You can spin it that way. I don't think that's what happened there, though. I think that old O'Reilly and Trump are good chums from a number of places. I think that they're old pals, and I think that O'Reilly set him up for a fall. That's what I think. All right, let's move on. That's not the biggest deal. By CNN standards, they should go dark for a week, because I think a test pattern would get higher ratings than Jake Tapper. That's what I think. Watching that network, a test pattern would get higher ratings than Wolf Blitzer. But now let's go to the montage of the Super Bowl ads, where it was a meltdown. A meltdown on the Super Bowl. I'll get that in a minute. But here's another little story for all of you who don't know what's going on. In the United Kingdom, half of all new homes built by the government will go not to the poor Brits, but to my immigrants. You heard me. Almost half of all new houses built in the UK over the next 5 years will go to immigrants, meaning an extra home will need to be constructed every 5 minutes by the government. The extra 5.3 million new properties are needed as the population of the UK continues to boom. 2.4 million houses will go to immigrants, the Department for Communities and Local Government claim. This is in Breitbart by Liam Deacon. It's a fabulous article. Building a new home every 5 minutes, night and day, for new arrivals until such time as we can get those numbers down. Now, what about America? Do you think that benefits are not going to these illegals that are pouring over the border? Do you think these benefits are not going to the Islamic people who were just flooded in as a result of the psycho judge overriding the will of the people? You're wrong. They're waiting for them with open arms. How many years have I told you that when my grandfather came here, he had to go through Ellis Island? Ellis Island, they tested the people for, they didn't exactly test them, but if they looked sick, they put them aside. If they had a really bad illness, they sent them home. We're talking only about health. Put them in quarantine. Remember little Vito Corleone in The Godfather? He had a disease, probably had pneumonia or something like that. I don't know what he might have had. But they wouldn't let an infected kid into America because they were stupid and they were evil white racists. That's why they wouldn't let infected people in, not because they wanted to protect the healthy population. No, no, you've got it all backwards if you think that. So we had a CDC, a Centers for Disease Control under Barry Obama, that had become politicized by stooges, whose name I forgot. They fired him recently. He went on probably teaching at Berkeley somewhere. And the other one at the NIH, Fauci. Two geniuses who've been there forever. And Barry had politicized them, letting in infected people. Didn't matter what the disease was. Welcome one, welcome all. Putting you at risk, putting your children at risk. Putting them into communities around America against their will. I tried to write a book called Immigrants and Epidemics way back when. My co-author was the dean of one of the most important schools of public health in the United States of America. Great man in his field. We were going to co-author the book together. He figured I was a pretty well-known author. By the time I went to grad school, I had 7 books published by then. He was a well-known public health medical doctor, MPH. We were going to do the book together. I did a great proposal. Every New York publisher turned it down. Not because it was false, but because they were afraid of publishing it. Well, I've since gone on to bigger things. I mean, I used logic and scientific inquiry to get me where I am today. And the fact of the matter is, I'm still here. Because if I made these things up, I wouldn't still be here. I don't care whether you're a liberal or a progressive. I got to tell you something that I learned a long time ago that even children know. Maybe you don't know it because you're probably dumber than most children. Your mother told you to wash your hands and you didn't wash your hands when you were a kid probably, right? You were smarter than her. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're a good progressive who breaks windows and burns things down, microbes. They don't know if you're a radical, conservative, a Nazi, right-winger. Microbes do not discriminate. One of my greatest lines of all time. It's as good as Borders, Language, and Culture. Microbes do not discriminate. In a sane nation, that would bring us all together. All of us political, the different political factions would all be unified around one theme of self-preservation. But because we have a nation filled with half-educated morons who are suicidal to top it all off. Look at their lifestyles. They're liable to bring us all down. That's why Trump was attracted so much attention. Okay, I think I've covered that. I don't want to go over and over the same story every day. Borders, language, culture. Speak English or get out of my country and don't vote. How's that? How's that? You want me to say it again? Write it down. You don't want to learn English? Then you don't vote. See, how do you think Nancy Pelosi has stayed in power for all these years, as daffy as she is? How do you think someone as screwed up as Dianne Feinstein could retain her power for all these years? How do you think a city as corrupt as San Francisco can keep running without being called before organizations that investigate corruption for all these years? The answer is this city, before any other city, introduced the voting, the ballot, in 6 to 7 languages. So that illegal aliens could vote, and the unions and the others who bring them in would tell them who to vote for, anyone with a D. And so we have corruption and a one-party system. We've lost our democracy in California as a result of the fact that they do not have to read and write English in order to vote. So my motto has been Borders, Language, Culture for many years. Sanity? You want to vote, then you learn the language. You can't read English, you don't vote. It's that simple. You want to become a citizen, there used to be a citizenship test. I found the citizenship card from my grandmother. The woman was trying to learn English. She was a native Russian speaker. It was very hard for her. She came here when she was old. And I found her little card. It's very touching. It's in my archives. It'll be in my museum, my Presidential Museum of Savage, the Savage Presidential Museum of my mind. But it's in my archives, my grandmother's card, where she was trying to learn English. In order to become a citizen, she had to study English. Not today. Well, unless you study the English, which is America bad, white people racist, George Washington was a slaveholder, you know, stuff like that. The important stuff that all of the Marvins from NYU with crazy eyes teach them. Look, we have a revolution that's going on, and it hasn't stopped. We voted to stop the revolution. In fact, it's gotten worse. And it's gotten worse for a number of reasons. Right now, Trump is derailed a little bit. I mean, look, you could say anything you want. You can make nice about it. But, you know, if I'm a realist. His wheels are spinning in the mud. He's been derailed by a number of things. And that's because, I mean, I have a couple of solutions. I don't have to throw them out glibly. Okay? It's that simple. And that is he has to get his team in place real fast. Before he starts passing executive orders written in the middle of the night by website operators and bar flies, thinking them up over a few shots, he's got to get a professional team in place that thinks these things through. As we touched on in the last hour, I'll give you one example. The immigration thing, the ban of the Muslim countries. It was written without his knowledge, apparently, in the middle of the night by the website man, according to the New York Times, and he's furious over it. Now, had the website man read Government Zero before writing it, he would have said, you know, Donald, what we're going to do is, in order to make sure this passes muster, we'll do what Michael Savage wrote in Government Zero. We'll make it a blanket ban, no immigration for 7 years of any kind, except in a national emergency situation. That way we'll hold up in the courts. There's no way for them to attack it. Instead, they blundered. Now we have this. Now I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't tried the new Esotique XV yet, today is your lucky day, because if you call now, you'll get to try Esotique XV, which is the absolute best, most advanced wrinkle treatment, totally risk-free. Plus, Chamonix will give you the Genucel plant stem cell therapy for bags and puffiness under the eyes for free. You heard me right. I said free Genucel, a gift with no strings attached, just for trying Esotique XV today. I happen to use Esotique XV, and I love it. Chamonix is putting their money where their mouth is. You will look and feel years or even decades younger, with flawless, silky, smooth skin, and no bags or puffiness or your money back. Call right now. You'll also get a surprise luxury gift absolutely free. Take advantage of this crazy Valentine's Day promotion right now. 800-SKIN-891. 800-SKIN-891, or visit www.xvbeauty.com. Order Esotique XV Wrinkle Cream now and get Genucel Puffiness Treatment and a special luxury gift absolutely free. Order right now. Shipping is also free. Write it down, 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. Once again, 800-SKIN-891. Let's go to KUGN. Marla, line 3, 30 seconds or less. Fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mr. Savage. So I actually disagree with you about Trump's interview with Bill O'Reilly. I was really impressed with President Trump, and I actually thought that his answers engendered more trust because he was honest, and I respect that.
So when O'Reilly says Putin is a killer and Trump blurts and says there's a lot of killers, what, you think our country is so innocent? You didn't strike that as odd? That didn't strike you as odd?
No, it really struck me as...
All right, so let me turn it around. What if Barry Obama was being interviewed by O'Reilly? And O'Reilly says, Putin's a killer, isn't he? And he says, well, there's a lot of killers. What, you think our country is so innocent? What would the right wing have done to Barry Obama saying, what, our country is so innocent? What would they have said?
I don't know what they would have said. I know what I would have said. I would have said this person being honest, just as I, my impression of...
Right, so you would have said that if Barry Obama said the same thing about our country not being innocent, would have been acceptable to you?
It would have been credible, okay?
And
it,
okay. And all right, so you're basing it on credibility because America is not so innocent, in plain English.
Yes, that's correct. I mean, we have made our mistakes, too. There, we have, people are fundamentally dishonest when they're in a state of fear.
But here's the problem. That's not the way it's going to play on the world stage. And so Trump was snared by the leprechaun. He led him down a field of roses and then snapped the trap on his feet. And Trump fell for it. That is why you can never trust a leprechaun, no matter how tall they may be.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I boycotted the Super Bowl, as I usually do. I'm not a sports fan, truthfully. If you are, I'm not putting it down. I don't find it very interesting. But I went to the museum instead in the rain. I figured nobody would be on the road, nobody would be in the museum. And, in fact, I posted a picture of a phenomenal piece of sculpture with me looking at it with a strange light on Facebook. And it's my way of saying to the world what I like, and, you know, you can like what you like. But the political Super Bowl ad said it all. The perverts in the ad business have convinced these companies that by spitting on America and America's values, by spitting on everything American, by spitting on everything good, especially the male gender, they would sell more products. The ad agency is run by a very small group of fanatics. They control every ad in the United States of America, and it goes through very few hands. The political Super Bowl ads are an example of the psychosis that has infected the advertising world. Do you realize how far they have gotten, that they have pushed themselves into the Super Bowl and distorted the Super Bowl ads with lies about America, lies about men, lies about the military, lies about immigration, lies about planetary science, lies about everything. So you go to these games, I understand it, but you have to understand what's outside the Roman arena is very important in your everyday life. The Cultural Revolution started right around the time that Barry Obama was born. I will tell you who started the Cultural Revolution. This group of revolutionaries did more damage to the nation than any foreign enemy. They were all silk smooth salesmen. One pushed rampant sex with animals. Another one pushed rampant drug use, mainly LSD. That was Timothy Leary. The other one, God knows what he pushed. A demented mashup of feminism and socialism. There was also a lawyer named William Kunstler, who leapt to the defense of anyone who burned, spit on, or defaced something clean and good, like the American flag or the American way. And now these little leftist vermin have infested every news outlet in America. They run every ad agency in America. They run every political think tank in America, with rare exception. And so by upset, the long shot, the underdog, Trump wins the election. Same way the Super Bowl was snatched at the last minute by the New England Patriots. Trump snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. But he's got nothing done. He's accomplished nothing. We are all confused. That's why I'm telling you this on the Savage Nation. It starts with a culture that shares a common bond with our enemies. They don't want us to exist, and neither do we. Forget good breeding. We don't do any breeding. We went from having 2.3 children to an abortion culture and an overpriced Manhattan loft. A three-bedroom family house is a waste when there is no family. Islamists ban birth control and turn their women into baby jihad factories. We have feminists demanding a life of free sex with unlimited trips to the abortion clinic. Most people would never connect abortion to radical Islam, but you're smarter than most people. But don't just take my words for it. Look at the numbers. There are 1.2 billion Muslims in the world. America has at last count 320-some-odd people. With so many illegals pouring in, it is tough to get an accurate count. There are roughly four times as many Muslims as Americans. They keep adding to their ranks, and we keep importing illegals because our own people eliminate their babies. At this rate, we will go the way of Europistan. Italy has had a declining birth rate in recent years. Europe is finished. They refuse to reproduce while Islamist women keep churning out the next generation of Islamists. The Center for Disease Control reported in 2011 over 730,000 abortions were performed in the United States. That is 100,000 more people than in the entire state of Vermont. Imagine if we woke up one day and found out that all of Vermont was aborted. As tempting as it is not to bring the next Bernie Sanders into the world, think of an entire state just empty. That was in 1 year. Since Roe v. Wade in 1973, 54 million abortions have taken place. We voluntarily killed off between 15 and 20% of our population. And by the way, the next time you hear a leftist say that illegals do the jobs Americans refuse to do, just remember how many Americans we killed off. Had those babies been born, there would be no labor shortage today. Their children, and in rare cases grandchildren, could have joined the United States military. Instead, Islamists are breeding and Americans are bleeding. I'll say it again in case you missed it. It's got nice iambic pentameter. Wolf Blitzer, pay attention, you psychotic moron, you. Islamists are breeding and Americans are bleeding. It's easy for Islamists to chant death to America. We eliminated one-fifth of their obstacles and made their job 20% easier. At least some Americans are still having children. Unfortunately, many of those children spend their formative years being taught how to surrender. Thank you, Berkeley. The emasculation of American boys is one step short of suicide. Muslims are living in patriarchal societies, while American boys are being emasculated by feminism. Schoolyards used to be filled with kids at recess playing games like kill the guy with the ball. Nobody died. Boys played with G.I. Joes and girls played with dolls. Kids played freeze tag without a single incident of sexual harassment. Cartoons were filled with violence. Bugs Bunny tied the gun in a knot and Elmer Fudd's gun went kaboom, covering his own head in black soot. Wile E. Coyote chased the roadrunner and fell off the cliff to his death. We as children knew not to try and jump off the roof. Teenage boys watched Rocky and Rambo. Then we came home without trying to kill anybody. We did not need liberals to tell us the difference between pretend and real life. Common sense and our parents handled that. Now schools across the country are canceling gym class. Even rock, paper, scissors is too violent. Rocks and scissors can be used by children to harm each other. Paper requires murdering trees. It's no wonder Islamists produce strapping young men, while America produces sensitive crybabies. Muslim children are taught to hate in madrasas. They are taught how to kill the infidels and the blasphemers. American boys are suspended from school for arranging their school lunch vegetables in the shape of a gun. Perhaps it's good they get suspended. Michelle Obama used to starve our children anyway. Pizza, burgers, and fries are replaced with gluten-free, calorie-free, flavor-free garbage that the kids throw away. Then they race home and grab a hamburger on the way home because growing boys want more apple slice than a fiber protein bar. During World War II, young boys volunteered to go overseas to save the world. The Korean War had Colonel David Hackworth teaching our young military best to kill a commie for mommy. Now American kids on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from potential microaggressions. Islamists cut off heads and limbs, and our young boys shriek at the drop of a microaggression, marching with Islamists and hating Trump. This is Michael Savage. What I'm reading to you is a continuation of what I wrote for you in my last books, Government Zero and Scorched Earth. What I'm reading to you can be found on this radio show and in Trump's war. What does it have to say about the Berkeley riots and the Navy SEAL raid? Page 7. Here's what I wrote, one paragraph. We will not be fighting on battlefields with rifles. We will be fighting an entrenched establishment whose weapons of mass destruction are far more devious than those of King George III. Instead of cannons and muskets, the establishment uses a corrupt media and an insidious network of violent agitators to wage a psychological war instead of a military one. Instead of shelling your town, they seek to imprison your mind with political correctness, envy, politics, and intimidation. That is in Trump's war. You have to buy this book. Page 8. Violence is an integral part of the left-wing worldview. As I've said for decades, including many of my books, in my many books, their only vision is burn it down, baby. They have not changed their worldview since the French Revolution in 1789, a bloody reign of terror that lasted a decade. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, send a message. Get your manifesto right now, Trump's war. There's much more in it that predicted what's coming, and I could tell you what's coming tomorrow. 100 years ago this year, communist revolution wound up killing 100 million people. 100 million people have died as a result of the last full-blown Bolshevik revolution. The streets of Berkeley, you saw the beginnings, or I should say the continuation of a Bolshevik revolution that was begun quite a while ago in this nation and stimulated by Michelle and Barack Obama, which I will prove on today's program in many different ways. My motto for 22 years on this show has been borders, language, and culture. Here, the vermin in the gutters, the filthy vermin, which all must be put down quickly by the police, deported by the federal government if they are here illegally, and the full extent of the law thrown at these anarchists, communists, and Islamists as quickly as possible to stop the cancer from spreading. They are chanting, no borders, no nation, and F deportation. No borders, no nation, F deportation. The police did nothing. The weak-chinned, useless idiots who run UC Berkeley turned the other way and did nothing. The faculty at the campus probably were in the riots. So what is it that you're going to do about this? Well, you're going to do nothing. You're going to do nothing. You're going to sit quietly and watch these scum take over the country. Is that what you're going to do? As they burn, as they loot, as they broke windows in, the police stood by and did nothing. The Berkeley fascists are like communists in Germany, by the way, who created Hitler. And that's the real threat here. It's not so much that they mimic the Bolshevik Revolution, which they do. That you can all figure out for yourself. But what you don't know is these street vermin who rioted yesterday, burned, attacked with impunity because the police were deballed by the campus authorities. The vermin in the gutters of Berkeley yesterday. Mind you, what the counter-reaction was to the communists who were raging through the streets of Germany. Many of you are under the impression that Hitler's brown shirts originated the fascism seen in Germany. What you don't know is they were a reaction to the fascism in Germany that was raging as a result of the communists. Borders, no nation, and F deportation. Same thing in Germany. They were rioting in Germany. They were attacking middle-class people. They were attacking middle-class businesses. They beat up anyone who stood up to them. They called it in the name of peace and freedom. And what happened was, armed bands of men formed together, many of them ex-military, many of them police, off-duty, and they called themselves the Brown Shirts. Do I have to tell you what the rest of that history is? Do you need to hear the rest of the history to understand the danger we are in? Do you understand that we are in a civil war? Do you understand who started the civil war? Do you understand Michelle Obama egged them on? Do you understand that Nancy Pelosi egged them on? I have the speeches. I have 8 years of these left-wing fanatics speaking 1 year after the other at UC Berkeley. Nancy Pelosi herself, one of the richest women on earth, having the gall to get up at UC Berkeley commencement exercise a few years ago and say, you should be the disruptors. Who the hell does she think she's talking to? I'd like to see 1,000 such disruptors go outside her house and see if she still believes in disruption. About 300 of these vermin went outside Feinstein's house the other day on Pacific Heights. The usual rabble of garbage in San Francisco. The flotsam and jetsam of the streets. They chanted outside Feinstein's Pacific Heights mansion because she wasn't being hard enough against Trump. Well, the next day she tried to be hard against Trump. The police have been told to stand down in the San Francisco Bay Area. The police presence is just basically to pick up the dead bodies, chalk the sidewalk, and bring out the body bags. There is no police presence until after the fact. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. We are all confused by Trump's plans and our plans still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get many of us killed. We are in this war. We are all fighting this war. Trump is losing the war. He's writing these laws, and they're not going anywhere because of wackadoodle, suicidal, leftists in the media and in the courts. During World War II, young boys, as I said to you, volunteered to go overseas to save the world. And I said to you the Korean War had Colonel David Hackworth teaching our young military best to kill a commie for mommy. And now your children on college campuses retreat to their safe spaces to escape from so-called microaggressions. Islamists cut off heads and limbs, and our young boys shriek at the drop of a microaggression. Do I have to remind you what happened in Berkeley? Do you know what happened over the weekend after the Berkeley riots? A congresswoman, so-called, from Florida, said it was beautiful to watch the, quote, young people destroying the University of California at Berkeley. You know, when I watch movies and TV shows from the 50s, I see an America that was bold, daring, macho, unafraid, and proud of itself. When I look at America today, I see something else. That is because a very small band of radical, fanatical leftists in the media, in the schools, and in the courts have seized every aspect of the media and every avenue of government imaginable. They're ashamed of the very idea of America. They are not the majority, and they don't speak for the people. They are a group of political deviants. They are political deviants in a statistical sense, in a political sense, and in a social sense. This small band of deviant judges and deviant media types have wrecked the United States of America and turned us into a nation of almost slaves. These craven apologists have turned the grandchildren of the greatest generation into jellyfish, less brave than the average Frenchman. It is easy to blame the 1960s, flower power, and the radicals that spawned them, nihilistic forces like the Black Panthers and the Weather Underground. It takes a village of people to destroy a child, and they need to be called out by name. Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama were just symptoms of a much bigger disease. You see, my friends of the Savage Nation, what we're living through right now is part of the disease of the Cultural Revolution, started right around the time Barry Sotero was born. You see how even our sports events have been infected by the radical leftists. This is the Savage Nation. You just got more than you're going to get for the rest of the week from everything else in the media. Stay tuned because more is coming.
Savage.
This is the Savage Nation. I am talking about the American Cultural Revolution. All of what you have heard is a summation of everything I have begun to write in Government Zero and Scorched Earth. It's all found in my opus, Trump's War, the one book that I want you to buy to help save the Trump Revolution from destruction. Remember what's going on in this country. Remember the Black Panther Party? They're chump change compared to the Black Lives Matter thugs. And never forget who is funding Black Lives Matter. None other than the villain of the earth. The Darth Vader of the earth, George Soros, is funding these violent Black Lives Matter communist revolutionaries. New Black Panthers held billy clubs outside polling stations in an attempt to prevent white voters from participating in the political process. Eric Holder and Barry Obama smiled. In Ferguson, Missouri, Baltimore, Maryland, and elsewhere, Black Lives Matter is known for burning down stores, looting, and stealing electronics in the name of racial justice. You think this came from nothing? It came from something. It came from the Republican Party, focused on winning the Electoral College, while liberals were hijacking the cultural institutions. They did nothing. During World War II, Hollywood was patriotic. Jimmy Stewart was a war hero. American movies accurately portrayed America as the good guys. Cartoons like Der Fuhrer's Face, featuring Donald Duck, mocked Adolf Hitler. Hollywood is now run by ardent, psychotic liberals. The few pro-American movies out there have to be privately financed to get made. Look at television. There used to be shows about heroes like Gunsmoke. There were shows with respected father figures such as Bonanza and Father Knows Best. In the 1970s, we even had Good Times, where John Amos was a strong black father figure. Then came Dad as Clown. From The Cosby Show to Everybody Loves Raymond, the father was reduced to a punchline. The mother was the adult, and the father was just another child for the mother to contend with. It is no wonder boys are growing up emasculated. The left has wiped out the father as a respected figure. The left has long owned the big three television stations. But one of them has turned their entire programming into leftist indoctrination. NBC owns more than the communist-leaning MSNBC. The parent company has done plenty of indoctrinating on its own kind. Climate change used to be the domain of a few crackpots. Now every night kids are bombarded with the More You Know ads that are far from innocuous. Little kids are scared to death that the climate change boogeyman is hiding under their bed, preparing to leap up and drown them in acid rain. In 2004, Americans overwhelmingly supported gay marriage bans. Those ballot measures defending traditional marriage played a key role in President George W. Bush's re-election. The public supported and still does support traditional marriage. Then the psycho television networks intervened. Ordinary people in middle America were portrayed as outside the mainstream, as extremists. By the time the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage, the public opinion had already shifted. Young people were almost lockstep in favor of gay marriage. The television carpet bombing of their minds worked. Women kissing women and men with husbands are now standard fare on primetime television. In addition to the entertainment industry, liberals seized control of the schools. Have you looked at the American Federation of Teachers? Have you seen what they're doing to your children's minds? Try firing a bad public school teacher, then wait a few years. The unions give millions of dollars to liberal Democrats in exchange for lifetime protection for all involved. Teachers are free to indoctrinate students without any fear of interference from parents. Huckleberry Finn gets removed from classrooms while Heather Has Two Mommies replaces it. The left controls the libraries. When was the last time you saw a Republican librarian? The libraries decide what books are on the shelf and what books are restricted. Well, at another time, I'll go into all the other aspects of the Cultural Revolution. You can read all about it in Government Zero on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com. I want to continue now by talking a bit about the Super Bowl ads that went super political. Let's start with Audi, the German car company. Their ad featured a dad and his daughter promoting equal pay for women. Audi of America is committed to equal pay for equal work, they declared. Apparently unaware, America already has that law on the books. The folks over at Airbnb ran a commercial on inclusiveness, as did Google and Coca-Cola. A hair product company trolled President Trump's lustrous mane. America, we're in for at least 4 years of awful hair, so it's up to you to make up for it with great hair, the narrator of the sick commercial said. But the most controversial ad came from 84 Lumber. It was titled A Journey. The Super Bowl ad told the story of an illegal alien and her daughter trying to sneak across the border, only to be stymied by a giant, beautiful wall. When all appeared hopeless, the illegals discovered a door built by a guy using 84 lumber materials. In the final scene, the woman and her daughter open the door and violate American sovereignty. The ad ends with, "The will to succeed is always welcome here." Now, why would a lumber company advertise on the Super Bowl? If you go to a hardware store, do you say, "I want a certain brand of lumber"? You just say, "I want a 2x4 that's 8 foot long." Or, "I want a sheet of plywood." You don't ask what the company is. This is because this company is simply trying to drive their stock up. They're trying to get you to know the name of the company behind the lumber so you'll buy their stock. That's how sick this is. The hardware company was only allowed to show 90 seconds of the six-minute commercial during the Super Bowl. The remainder was posted online. It was supposed to tug at the heartstrings. Instead, it gave Americans a bad case of heartburn. You get the picture. This is the Savage Nation. Now, where did this immigrant stuff begin? It began in 1965 when the dipsomaniac Kennedy, remember him? Remember the dipsomaniac, Ted Kennedy? When he brought forward legislation called the 1965 Immigration Act, he said it will not change the demographics of America. But as we know, Kennedy's lie, and people die. Well, he did change the demographics of America, and not so much for the better. But put demographics aside. What percent of these immigrants are on welfare? What percent of these immigrants do not work at all? What percent of them never will work? Why are we letting them come in and bringing in grandfathers who will never work? Is that the mark of a sane nation or a sick nation? Especially a nation with a debt of $20 trillion, $10 trillion of which was added by Barack Hussein Obama. That's right. He took the debt from $10 trillion, if I'm not mistaken. Was it to $20? Do I have the numbers right? He added $10 trillion to the national debt in order to fund the welfare state and in order to feed the immigrants who never belonged here in the first place. So Trump's war is long overdue. That's number two. So we heard the Immigration Act of 65 by Kennedy changed everything when he broke the borders open. And then Obama finished it off by turning the Border Patrol agents into babysitters. This is a true story, but the Border Patrol 6 months ago was complaining that they were reduced to reheating tacos at the border for the illegals that Obama was flooding in. That was not a racist statement. They were told to warm up the food for the immies who were flooding over the border because they were supposed to be given a hot meal. That is what he did to our Border Patrol. So you wonder why Trump is engaging in this right now? It's because he ran on these campaign points, right? So let's look back a little bit and see who else talked about immigration when he was president. And you'll be shocked to find, as you listen to the following statement, that it did not begin with Donald Trump. It began with this man who you will hear in clip number 16. Pay careful attention, Progs.
All Americans, not only in the states most heavily affected, but in every place in this country, are rightly disturbed by the large numbers of illegal aliens entering our country. The jobs they hold might otherwise be held by citizens or legal immigrants. The public service they use impose burdens on our taxpayers. That's why our administration has moved aggressively to secure our borders more by hiring a record number of new border guards, by deporting twice as many criminal aliens as ever before, by cracking down on illegal hiring, by barring welfare benefits to illegal aliens. In the budget I will present to you, we will try to do more to speed the deportation of illegal aliens who are arrested for crimes, to better identify illegal aliens in the workplace, as recommended by the commission headed by former Congresswoman Barbara Jordan. We are a nation of immigrants, but we are also a nation of laws. It is wrong and ultimately self-defeating for a nation of immigrants to permit the kind of abuse of our immigration laws we have seen in recent years, and we must do more to stop it.
I agree. Thank you, Bill Clinton. He made me be a really a great president. If he actually practiced what he just stated, he'd be more conservative than Donald Trump. But I doubt very much that he would practice what he just stated today. And, of course, he was right. Clinton was 100% right. How did it change so rapidly from Bill Clinton until now? Because you've had 8 years of brainwashing by Jake Tapper, Wolf Blitzer, George Stephanopoulos, the people who have sucked the brains out of America, are now doing it again, calling Trump every name under the sun. Again, I will refer to the document that you must have, which is called Trump's War, and I'll keep saying it until you finally hear me. Chapter 4 is the war for our borders, and the headlines within it are the New World War, ancient mass population changes, build the wall. Oh, really? Build the wall. It's in the book. The dream is over. Disease imports still on the rise. How about sanctuary for U.S. citizens? You can only get it in one book. It's called Trump's War. Trump has to take control of his administration. He cannot delegate anymore to these people. He has to deliver on his message. The question I'm going to ask, which I should ask at another time, which is this: did Trump really want to win? Some are saying he didn't. Some of his closest friends said he didn't think he would win, nor was he prepared to win. But the bigger question is, do you think that he's going to run a second term? Do you think he even wants a second term? Can you see 4 years of this kind of confusion? I can't. Something has to happen, and it has to happen quickly. When one crackpot judge in Seattle can continue to permit the flooding of America with radical Islamists mixed in with nice Muslims and terrorists mixed in with nice and bad Muslims, we have lost the country completely. What is a president but the chief executive? How can a chief executive permit one crackpot judge to distort an immigration policy that we all know is out of control? How is that even possible? Moreover, where are the tax reforms that we asked for? Why did he go forward on this immigration executive order without thinking it through, without putting his ducks in a row, so to speak? He wasn't prepared for it. There were not enough changes downstream to enact this. He hasn't yet got the Supreme Court in his hand. It's going to make it even more difficult for him to place this new guy on the Supreme Court, because the evil Chuck Schumer said that just the other day. The evil Chuck Schumer said that the other day. The psychotic, evil Chuck Schumer, who would destroy a nation for more power, the same way Pelosi and Feinstein and the others have done for so many years, flooding America with disloyal immigrants who don't work. Let me repeat that in case you missed it. Disloyal, lazy immigrants who don't work. How many of these immigrants that we're told come here to work actually work? And I'll ask a more pointed question. See if you can find the data on this. The countries from which Trump banned immigration, largely Muslim countries, it is true. What percent of the immigrants from Sudan work at jobs in America? And what percent of the Sudanese who have come into this country under Barry Obama and now under Trump are on welfare? What percentage of Somalis are on welfare in America? What percent work at a regular full-time job in America? What percent of Syrians are on welfare? What percent are working full-time jobs? That's an embarrassing fact that the geniuses at CNN will not look into. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
We are all confused by the fact that we elected Donald Trump and his plans and our plans are still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics who, if not stopped, will get many of us killed. If you see Jewish liberals opening the doors of synagogues to Islamists who they don't even know, in the hope that they will be loved by these Islamists, which will never happen. If you see feminists embracing Islamist women who conduct mutilation of women, I forget what they call it, I don't even know the name for it, which they force circumcision on women, they cut off their parts of their sexual apparatus, as done in the old country. And here you have feminists embracing them at marches against America. What you understand is that you have liberalism, the mental disorder, on display. It doesn't matter how many of them are marching or screaming. They're all crazy. The Islamists are not crazy. They know what they're doing. It's the feminists. I saw a show over the weekend on RT television, Russian television. I watch it for the news on occasion. And they went man in the street with a microphone asking French people who was the greatest threat to France. This is right after the Muslim was stopped with a machete outside the Louvre. And you should see pretty young French girls, you know, 20, 25, beautiful women. You'd look at them and think they're intelligent. But like the brainwashed dodos that they are, they said Trump was the greatest threat to France's survival. Not Russia, not Iran, not radical Islam, but Trump. These are girls who don't even know that their grandfathers were saved by the American troops in World War II. They have no idea of their own history, the history of their own country. They have no idea what world they live in. They have free prescription drugs, printable pharmacy coupons, the benefits of herbal medicine, and they think that they know everything on the earth.
What they don't know is about survival. They permit the enemy within to enter their nation, and anyone who tries to save them from themselves, they think is their enemy. Is it any different here in America? I do not know why the Trump administration, I think I know why. One of the first things I thought the Trump administration would do would have the Justice Department immediately investigate George Soros and his son on Park Avenue. Believe me, if the Justice Department wants to, they can indict a ham sandwich, as we learned during the reign of terror of Barry Obama, when he went after every decent American in the country who stood up to him. IRS probes, making people bake cakes for groups that they didn't want to bake cakes for. You get the picture, don't you? The power of the federal government is pretty awesome. And when you have a man as villainous as George Soros and his little twerpy son sitting up there, the inheritance case, continuing to give money to these communist organizations who are as violent as you can imagine, in order to keep people off their own doorstep, the government has to step in and protect us from them. I'm 100% in favor of dissent. I am a dissenter.